All right, so in the Kindle version then, we are on page 228. Where are we in the paperback? 229. In the paperback, we're looking at NTI Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin with verses 9 to 25, and here we go. The process of learning seems to be a stepped process in which one man listens and learns, and then he teaches another so that he listens and learns too. This is how it seems to be. This is how it seems to be to you. But to the Holy Spirit, another thing is happening. I have told you that there is one Son of God, and I have told you that the Holy Spirit has one plan for one Son. This is how the Holy Spirit sees. He sees one. And this is what the Holy Spirit knows. There is one mind in need of awakening. So this is how the Holy Spirit works. He works through you to awaken one mind unto itself. When the Holy Spirit looks at the world, it does not see holy men and men of darkness. It does not see men at all. It does not see men who are right in what they do and men who are wrong. It does not see men at all. It is the ego who separates men from one another and judges them. It is the ego who sees men of one purpose and men of another. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit sees only one purpose, and all things that seem to be of the world serve the one purpose. So when you look at this story, see only one thing. See the spreading of light within an awakening mind, and then you see with the Holy Spirit. So he's referring to the story at verses 9 to 25. So maybe in order to get a full understanding of that, we should go to the Bible. So let me go to the Bible and read Acts chapter 8, 9 to 25, and let's see what he's talking about. So where am I in Acts now? Okay, I can just flip through. I'm at Acts 6 already in the Bible. So Acts 8. The name of this story in the Bible is Simon the Sorcerer. Here's the story. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter, and John, They returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So that's the story. So what the Holy Spirit is talking about then is, first of all, this seeming process of one teaching another so that he learns. That's the way that it appears to us. And, you know, the reason this may have been a little bit important, again, it's always helpful to take into account who the scribe is and you know, what her thoughts are. But when we're reading Acts 9 to 25, and we see that Philip is teaching and we see Simon the sorcerer, my first thought as the scribe reading was that Simon was a fake. You know, everybody thought that he was like a servant of God when he was just a sorcerer. But then he quickly converted. And so then my judgment changed in him. Oh, well, he's not that bad, right? And then Peter comes along and you know, Simon offers him money and says, can you teach me to give Holy Spirit to people? Which I didn't think that much about. I thought Simon had a pretty good heart there. But then Peter comes down on him so harshly, and now I'm judging Peter. And what was kind of going on in my mind was like, that was this idea. This was the idea that was behind all of my judgment. Was that people learn from people. And in order to be an effective teacher, you have to be perfect. And so I was judging Simon first as a false teacher, leading people astray. And then I was judging Peter as an imperfect teacher because he came down too hard on Simon, who innocently, you know, out of what I judged as good intentions, tried to give him money so he could learn how to give people the Holy Spirit. I didn't feel like, this is all my judgments, but I didn't feel like Simon had an evil motive. You know, he just wanted to be helpful and he didn't realize, whatever, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. You know, so my idea was that people learn from people. And so in order to be an effective teacher, you have to be perfect. I mean, that's really what I thought. And what Holy Spirit is saying is that's not really true. It appears to you that people learn from people. That's the way it looks to you. But that's not what's really going on here. The truth is, everybody learns from within themselves. Even if I seem to be teaching and you seem to be listening, with any processing of what I'm saying is happening within you. And that processing could be happening with ego in you. It could be happening with spirit in you. It could be a mix. But everything that's happening is happening within you. And that's not only true when I'm teaching. That's true when you leave here and you go to the grocery store and you have a conversation with someone, or you watch something on TV or whatever. That's always true. So every single thing that happens in the world, not only the teaching-learning event, but every single thing that happens in the world is actually an opportunity for Holy Spirit to teach you. And that if you are open to it, every single thing can help you towards awakening. So let's just say that Simon the sorcerer did become a sincere student. Right? That was my interpretation, and let's just assume for a moment my interpretation is true. When Peter came down hard on him, when Peter seemed imperfect, that did not take away Simon's ability to go to Holy Spirit, ask, what do I need to see on me? How is this used for my awakening? In other words, Peter doesn't have to be the perfect teacher for Simon, because Simon's got the perfect teacher in him. So Peter can be completely imperfect. He can be, you know, just, you know, overly judging everyone, overly controlling, very harsh. But if the student wants to stay in touch with Holy Spirit and ask Holy Spirit, how is this helpful to me? That interpretation can always be happening. So my idea that you have to have a perfect teacher in order to pass on wisdom is, you know, in form is false, because everyone's got the perfect teacher in them. And this was very helpful for me, because I had a teacher at this time, which they both know, that at the time that NTI was coming, I was severely judging this teacher. And so it was very helpful for me to see that it didn't matter whether this teacher was, quote, perfect or imperfect, you know, according to my expectations of how a teacher should be. What mattered is that everything that happened I went to Holy Spirit with it and said, how is this helpful to me? And in that way, everything becomes helpful. There isn't a single event that can occur in the world that isn't helpful, even Sandy. You know, if Hurricane Sandy is being used by people to say, you know, what's in my mind? How come I'm upset by this? Or how come I'm afraid by this? Or how come I feel guilty? You know, people can feel guilty about Hurricane Sandy. You know, what's going on with me? Hurricane Sandy becomes a helpful event to anyone who would use Hurricane Sandy in that way. So it's not true that one teaches another. And if that was true, we probably have very little hope of ever learning, because there's probably very few, if any, perfect teachers in the world. Most of the teachers in the world, if not all of them, but at least most of them, still have split minds. And so although there may be great clarity that comes through their mouth, if you get to know them well, you may also see ego. And if you have an expectation that they always demonstrate their teaching, then when they don't demonstrate it in their personal life, you're going to be stumped. Unless you remember, that doesn't matter. What matters is that when I see something and I'm confused about it, I'm upset about it, I'm judging it, that I go within Holy Spirit and ask that my sight, you know, be made whole, be healed, be cleansed, whatever. It kind of reminds me in the Bible of that scripture about take the beam out of your own eye before you try and remove the splinter from your brother's eye. Yeah. So it's totally okay if people are, again in quotes, imperfect. If they don't live up to their own teachings, it's totally okay for each of us. That's their concern about them, you know. But for each of us, it's okay. Nobody else has to be perfect for us to receive all of our lessons and awaken. So that's good news, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'd be screwed. So verses 26 to 40. When you see with the Holy Spirit, you also realize that you do not see. For you do not look on the world and see only one mind. You see men, and you are tempted to make judgments about them. This is why you must not listen to your own way of seeing. You do not see the truth. You must listen to the Holy Spirit and trust its way, for it does see the truth and the sharing of one light within one mind. So as I mentioned, when this was coming, I was harshly judging a particular teacher. I had strong grievances at this time. And so what this is saying is that even in listening to the Holy Spirit, just what I wrote right before this, and you know, whenever I wrote NTI, you could say that as I was writing NTI, I temporarily saw with the Holy Spirit. Like when that clarity was coming into my mind, there's no way I couldn't see with that clarity. It would have been impossible. I wasn't really separate from it. The moment it quit, I could forget and go back to an ego mind. But while it was coming, I could see with the Holy Spirit. So that's why this was saying, when you see with the Holy Spirit, you realize you don't see. Because as this was coming and I could see with the Holy Spirit how I don't learn from a teacher, I learn from within, then I could also see how blind I was in judging this teacher as being a betrayer, which is what I was judging him as at the time. I could see that that was blind, that I didn't understand. But what might happen, again, when NTI quits coming and when I get up and walk away and the ego comes back in, then I would start judging him again. So this is pointing out again that this is why I can't, in my case, I can't just get up and walk away from NTI and go back to my ego mind. You know, I needed to find a way to stay in the process of listening to Holy Spirit throughout the day. And one of the things that started coming probably shortly after this that helped me were those single quiet thoughts, where I would receive a thought in the morning that I would carry with me all day, and I would refer to it over and over again all day. Because what I really needed to do was I needed to train my mind to stay open to hearing Holy Spirit's wisdom all of the time, not just when I sat down to write NTI, or in somebody else's case, it might be not just when you're listening to a teaching or not just when you're studying a book. You know, because a lot of us can receive a lot of clarity in our times of contemplation, But then we get up and we walk into our regular life and it's like we close the door. And we have to learn to leave that door open, or what happens is we see for a moment, but then we go right back to our blindness.
I was just going to say, I always find that as a measure of my willingness. Do I go back to regular ego thinking, or that's always, to me, that's a measure of willingness.
Yes.
Because that's the only thing that keeping me from doing it, is my willingness to continually just be focused.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. In fact, look at the first two words, and then it's starting with be willing. The next two words, be willing then to lay your sight aside and to depend on His. Be willing to let Him lead you as to where you shall go, what you shall say unto Him. Trust in all that He asks you to do, and do not judge as good or bad or right or wrong for yourself. Do only as He asks, leaving one place and going to another as He leads you to go. So again, what this was saying, you know, like in the particular situation I was going through with this teacher, you know, this, you know, what would happen is the teacher would, in my case, say something that I judged as totally inappropriate for a teacher to say. And then that just was followed with many, many, many more judgments. But if we look at that for a moment, what was really happening was I was depending on my sight. I was depending on my expectations of how a teacher of A Course in Miracles is supposed to be, what a teacher of A Course in Miracles is supposed to say, how they're supposed to represent themselves. And then the key word here is I was judging what he said as bad or wrong for myself. And I was not going to Holy Spirit. Now, if I did go to Holy Spirit, which of course I eventually did, or I never would have gotten beyond this, when I did go to Holy Spirit and I would ask for help, Holy Spirit would always show me there were like key points that I judged this particular person on. And one by one, Holy Spirit would hone in on a key point that I was using for judgment, but also show me how I used that same key point to judge here and here and here, and then how all of those judgments caused me misery, and would show me that if I just let go of that key point, then I could also let go of all those judgments and I could be happy. Now, of course, those individuals may still be, you know, doing these things, but what Spirit showed me was that did not need to keep me from being awakened. Their behavior, their choices did not need to keep me from being awakened. The only thing that kept me from being awakened was my judgments, those key points in my mind that I thought everyone else had to live by, right? And so what Spirit also showed me is when people misbehave, again in quotes, that when people misbehave, that can actually be very beneficial to me. Because it's not necessarily helpful to go from unhappiness to happiness because the world changed to suit you. Because it's never going to stay that way, right? So let's say this teacher had finally started behaving the way I thought he should. There's going to be another person that's going to step up. It's not going to be behaving the way I think they should. So it's really beneficial for me to learn how to let go of all of these things in my mind that's judging me, that it's causing me to judge, And it's really helpful to even have some characters who refuse to change, because I can check myself against that. And I can notice, oh look, he's still being the same, and now my heart is clear. Like I'm fine, I love him, there's not a problem here. So that way I know my forgiveness is real. Because I'm now at peace, even though there was no change in the apparent circumstance. Right? So Spirit, show me there's nothing wrong. You know, everything that's happening is to your benefit. Now, the interesting thing is that sounds somewhat selfish. But the reason that's not selfish is because Spirit can do that with each and every one of us. You know? Anyone who turns to Spirit regarding any situation will see how the situation is to their benefit. You know, so this particular individual that isn't changing, for example, At any point, he could, or maybe he does, I don't know, turn to spirit and say, how is this to my benefit? And he receives. It's not like only I receive. Anybody who turns to spirit and says, how is this to my benefit to help me awaken, receives that guidance. So it isn't selfish, right? Because it's available to everyone. All you have to do is ask. But the interesting thing again is to remember there are no exceptions. There's nothing anyone can do or nothing that can happen in the world that spirit cannot use for your awakening. So in that way, there are no real obstacles. There's only imagined obstacles, the things we refuse to let go of. Good news. All right. And that is the end of NTI Acts chapter 8. So I think we'll go ahead and start 9. Let's see. NTI Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. The calling must come to every mind in its time. This is the plan of love. This is the spreading of light. It is the Holy Spirit's will that all shall come to know him, and so it shall be. Each one will recognize his calling when it comes to him. Until then, you are to love your brother, knowing that the calling will come, and he will be one in purpose with you. Another thing that was going on at this time was Spirit had relocated me from Massachusetts to North Carolina. And in North Carolina, the only people there that I knew was my brother, his wife, and their three kids. And I loved them all dearly. But, here's the but. My brother and his wife, very big egos. And so all of a sudden I was around these humongous egos. You know, each in their own way, totally different egos, but very large egos. I don't know how else to say that. And so all of a sudden I was around them, and I would get very uncomfortable, for example, when my sister-in-law would come over and sit at my kitchen table and for 2 hours straight gossip about, you know, my brother, my stepmother, my mother. And I was very uncomfortable with this. And in fact, lots of people have told me those, as they start getting on the spiritual path, one of the things they begin to have a lot of discomfort with is when somebody's sitting there gossiping with them. You know, how they know they don't want to participate in the gossip, and yet, you know, it's just a very uncomfortable situation. So Spirit was helping me being with my brother and my sister-in-law, who were still very inflamed in ego, right? And helping me to be with them by saying, just remember, their time will come. Right? Their calling will come, and when their calling comes, they will answer. When you're being with them, just be with them knowing one day their calling will come. And I don't know why that helped, but that helped. I started being able to sit, for example, with my sister-in-law while she would talk for 2 hours straight, you know, gossiping about everyone in the family. I didn't have to stop her. I didn't have to agree with her. I didn't have to disagree with her. I just sat there remembering that at some point, that willingness is going to spark in her and she'll begin her spiritual path. And I was able to just be with her. Maybe what before there was a difference, maybe that's what was going on, like I'm on spiritual path, she's not. And even though in form that didn't change, somehow this point of view, one day it's going to start there too, it erased that difference. And I never even needed to ask her to quit gossiping. I was able to allow her to be right where she was at. And I would just look at her and smile and I guess for lack of a better word, say just remember who she really was and know that one day the spark would, you know, ignite her search for realizing who she was, right? And I never had to ask her to change. I never had to ask my brother to change. And I learned to be totally comfortable around them. And neither one of them have reduced their egos yet. But now there's not a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah, so. Okay, verses 7 to 9. A period of rest is necessary for everyone who comes to answer the call. During this time, that one does not take in things of the world. He may seem to shelter himself or cut himself off from others, but the purpose of this separation is joining. For your brother is preparing to see differently by realizing he does not see. This is a period of learning that all must go through. It is a period of looking at the thoughts that are in the mind and realizing they are thoughts in mind only. That which is thought in mind apart from God is thought without the power of eternity. And so that which is thought apart from God may freely be let go when you have decided you want the thought no more. So this again is referring to something that was really going on in my life. Prior to starting the spiritual path, I've told people many times that I used to be a yeller. Well, that's actually only one side of my split maternal personality. In another way, I was a very attentive mother. I spent a lot of time with Jasmine, playing games, a lot of times doing craft projects, decorating cookies, going to zoos. You know, the other part of me was how much time I really spent focused on her. And what happened when I started the spiritual path is I, in form, started to pull away from that time with Jasmine and was spending more and more time reading the course, receiving NTI, doing my journaling, you know, and Jasmine was just sitting in front of the TV because I was like ignoring her. And I felt guilty about that. And yet at the same time, I still felt the pull to do that. So what Spirit is doing here is helping me to let go of that guilt. He's saying this is absolutely natural. This happens to everyone on the spiritual path where they pull away. In whatever way they pull away. And in my case, I happen to be apparently pulling away from my daughter. But he says it's separation for the purpose of joining. Because what we're doing is we're pulling away, we're learning what our ego is, we're learning what wisdom is, we're learning how to let go of ego and how to spend more time with wisdom. And we need this focused time in order to learn that. But then when we come back after learning that, now we're able to really join in a way that we weren't before. Like before, right, I certainly was this very attentive mother on the one hand, but on the other hand, I was the yeller. When I came back, I was only the attentive mother. Do you see how that time away was? And if I hadn't taken the time away, it would not have changed like that. Because it was in that time away that I was learning and realizing and practicing everything that I needed to learn and realize and practice in order to come back. And as far as I can tell, Jasmine has never made any comment to me whatsoever that indicates that she has some kind of a grievance over that period of time, which may have still been a couple of years, when I wasn't as attentive. It's almost like somehow she didn't quite notice, right? You know, like she was okay watching TV for 2 years. You know, that was all right with her. They were dang good shows. You know, so sometimes we may find that we feel like we're pulling away from our families, or we feel like we're dropping maybe some responsibilities in the community that we were involved with so that we can have more time with our spirituality. Just remember that the idea of guilt around that is coming from the ego. Because if the ego can make you feel guilty about that and you don't do it, guess what? You don't let go of ego. So Spirit is saying, this is absolutely natural. Don't feel bad about it. Follow that guidance to take more time for yourself. Everybody does it. It's just a natural part of the path. Okay, we'll read one more and then we'll stop. So verses 10 to 19. All brothers work together in the Holy Spirit's one plan for healing, as the Holy Spirit does not see brothers, but only one. This is the one song that is under my direction. This is the song of heaven as it is played on earth. It is the song of forgiveness, in which those who seemed to be separate come to be joined. This is the song in which you sing and your brother sings. Though you may not be able to hear the song as the Holy Spirit does, trust it as it is played. Answer to your call and trust that your brother will answer his. This is just another way of saying everything that happens can be used for your awakening. Again, there's nothing that anyone can do that can be an obstacle to your awakening. Nothing. So, you know, if you think, well, you know, if I was to have a good awakening, like really have a chance of awakening, you know, my partner would always be understanding of me. And since my partner isn't always understanding of me, my partner is an obstacle. Spirit's saying, nah, his not understanding you or her not understanding you is a perfect opportunity for you to look at some stuff in your mind. You know, so your brother not understanding you is actually helping you. And Spirit's never going to say anything different. If you ever are like journaling with Spirit and Spirit comes back, yeah, you're right, he shouldn't be acting that way, you're listening to ego. Spirit is never ever going to say that somebody else is behaving wrongly. Spirit is always going to say the way they are behaving is perfect for you. And here's why. Here's what you need to see. Here's what you need to let go of, right? As far as Spirit is concerned, everyone's behavior is always perfect. And it's never an obstacle to awakening. It all works together perfectly, and that is never not true. So let's see. Those were just lots of kind of light tips, good tips. You know, just very light, helpful stuff. Nothing very heavy. But I would say probably the good assignment that came out of today's reading is the remembering that no one can ever do anything that's an obstacle to your awakening. And notice this week if you feel like somebody is misbehaving and that somehow their behavior is a problem for you. And when you notice that you think that their behavior is a problem for you, take that moment to go to Spirit in whatever way you do that. I always did it through journaling, but whatever way you do that and say, wait a minute, how is this helpful to me? So be willing to stop seeing it as a problem and be willing to ask, how is it helpful? How is it helpful to me that he's being completely stubborn right now? How is it helpful to me that, you know, that she's not keeping her promises? You know, how is it, you know, just how is this helpful? And see what comes up instead of believing that these other people are misbehaving. And I'm going to stop the recorder and then we'll have a bit of silence and then discussion.